This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. With the internet, tablets, smartphones, streaming media, video games, it's definitely a digital world, and it's a lot different than the one many of us grew up in. So the question is, how is this affecting kids these days, and what can parents do about it? My guests are Brenda Greener-Judd and Kathy Maltby with UC's Arlett Child and Family Research and Education Center, and also Dr. Heidi Clues with UC's Department of Psychology. Good afternoon, everybody.
Glad
to have you here. And Heidi, let's start with you. Has there been a lot of research done so far on how screen media are affecting kids?
Well, hi, Mark. You know, there's research and then there's research. There is a lot of research in the sense that it's a topic, and a lot of people have opinions and a lot of experts try to look at that. But it's difficult to do. You know, there's the problem. The problem is that we don't have experimental research, you know, where we take kids and then randomly we assign them to two conditions, one in which the child has a lot of screen time and one in which there's not so much screen time or something like that, you know, over time. That kind of research would be very informative, but as far as I know, we lack that, or there's not enough of that to make conclusive comments. So then we are left kind of with correlational studies, surveys and such. And here also, you know, we deal with spurious variables. If there's a lot of screen time in a child's home and there are behavioral difficulties later on or at that same time, it's sometimes not clear what came first or what the cause is. So I'm still waiting for the very conclusive or the clear research on how screen time or any kind of electronic interactions affect something like learning, a child's attention, social behavior, and such.
Has it also been a case of it's tough for the research to keep up with the progression of technology?
Absolutely. So, yeah, so you bring up another point. The technology changes. Even when we talk about screen time, as you said in your introductory remarks, there's no such thing as a uniform screen time. There's the computers, there's the video game. It used to be just TV. Now we have the internet, social sites, video games on the internet, and then very different video games. And it gets hit at us faster than we can, you know, get the IRB protocol for the research ready.
I think, Mark, that you have touched on something that we do need to look at, that our research has not kept up with the impact of screen media on our earliest learners. And I also think that research has not looked how our media has evolved and how quickly it has evolved. And I think that that's where there is more research needed. As in the past, you and I grew up and our media was in one room and mom and dad or an adult was very nearby and they could keep track of what we were watching and monitoring what we were watching. Now, most children, or a lot of children, I should say, have TVs in their bedrooms, or the family has multiple television sets. And often, mom and dads are, it's a busy world, and they're trying to get things done. And I think screen media aids moms and dads to prepare for the next day or to get jobs done. And screen media is an easy way to get our daily tasks done with no interruptions. And it's there's a plethora of information on all the screen media, and we're also not keeping track of what the children are viewing sometimes. This has evolved into children are now wearing, and there are accessories for screen media. They're watching it in the back seats of their cars. They have it in their bedrooms. They are at the iPhone, at the tables, at restaurants. And I want to say that this isn't all parents, but it's available. It's out there. And I think that we are now learning how all of this screen media is absorbing the amount of time our children are losing for fundamental skills. And that's where our research really needs to be concentrated on, to see what are they losing and what are they gaining from this. And in the research that I have done in screen media and looking at the pros and cons of screen media, in all of the children's domains that we look at as educators, there are definite pros and cons.
Now, Brenda, does this even affect children, infants, for example, toddlers? Because usually when I think of screen media, I think maybe older children who have a little bit more cognition, but we're talking about this even affects children in their infancy, doesn't it?
It does. And the specific research that I did not focus a great deal on infants, but what I did learn was that the lights, the sounds, and the stimulations are not healthy for those young brains. And this just needs to be monitored. And the American Academy of Pediatrics and the NAEYC and all of the people that govern us as far as education, they state a child under two should not be even involved in screen media. Now, at Arlet, we try to look at appropriate ways to use screen media. And even for the younger children, we try to look at ways that would be very natural in their use. And an example of that might be if Grandma and Grandpa lived far away, let's go Skype them. Or Kathy and I were talking yesterday about how researching a topic of information, you could go and use the computer, or very good literature is read on Kindles nowadays. So I think as educators, we are all looking for really good professional development ourselves to help parents understand the appropriate uses for education and how to implement that in the classroom.
And Kathy, what are some of the problems that this has been linked to?
Well, when you think about the problems that the technology is linked to, it's not necessarily general. They are related to the individual child, and it's a very individualized issues that are there. Because what we're seeing is that you really have to attend to the content. What are they seeing or what are they playing with at the different ages? So make sure that what they're being shown is appropriate for the child in the situation. So some of the issues has to do with inappropriateness. Also, what is the context that the children are looking at their screen time with? Who's with them and how are they interacting? And that's where we were talking about, like, Skype is an appropriate context for it. It could be to give children experiences they couldn't have a different way. But the other thing is, the last thing is what I started with, is that each child will have different interactions with the media itself, and it needs to be individualized. If a child feels like they are being ignored, and that's why they're in front of a screen, then it has a negative effect. Mm-hmm. But if it feels like it's supporting what they're doing with the people around them, it has more of a positive effect. And I don't know if Heidi has any examples from developmental.
Can I just chime in?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you may.
You know, the individual differences are huge. And I would emphasize that much more than some absolute screen time or some worry. Obviously, you know, we're parents. We're worried all the time that we're doing something wrong in the few years we have before they go into adulthood. But children differ, and they go, they interact with the screens, with the digital world for very different reasons, in very different ways, and we have to be mindful of that and most likely make different adjustments for different children. And individual differences are bigger than the problems than the digital world is offering us.
Yeah. Lisa Gernsky from the New American Foundation, she has written a book about screen time and from babies through childhood. And she talks about a new idea of which is the media mentorship, which is basically that people around the children have to really be mindful of mm-hmm. why it's happening. And they also, from a mentorship, the adults around need the professional development and the understanding also about what's good.
513-419-7100 if you have any questions or comments. And the American Academy of Pediatrics recently came out with a new policy that says that parents should limit their kids on tweeting and texting, and they should keep devices like smartphones and laptops out of the bedrooms. What do each of you think of that? And Heidi, let's start with what you think of that.
Yeah. You know, sleep is important, so I'm a big believer in a good night's sleep for children's cognitive development and their social development as well. So anything that they could be using in the middle of the night without you knowing is probably not a good thing in their bed. So I do ask my children, and I recommend this in general, to take media out of the bedroom. But I don't know if I agree with the American Academic and Pediatric Society. It's a bit too strict, and children are surrounded by smartphones. I benefit from the children having smartphones. I think they're getting also some exposure that they need, some comfort of something that's not going to go away. So in general, I'm supportive of it. I'm happy that it's happening. But bedtime, nighttime, you know, their parents have to be a bit more vigilant and careful about what they allow their children to do because they cannot monitor it as closely.
Brenda?
Yes, thank you. You were referring to the socialization of screen media. And what I have found is that a lot of times it does take us out of our community of learners. And our community of learners is often our family first, our peers, and our other groups that are outside organizations. And if a child is gaming too much, there are some pros and there are some cons. Some of the disadvantages of using screen media or gaming too much is, as Heidi did state, is a lack of sleep. We now have games that you can play online all night. And if a parent is not cognizant of that, then a child could easily get its days and nights mixed up, there's a lot of association with that also can let grades decline and socialization will decline. But also, if a child is on a screen media too much, there is not as much social language going on with the parents and the community of learners. So therefore, we do have to watch and monitor, and I think within moderation, all screen media is beneficial. And along with anything else in life, as long as it's monitored and a parent is watching the content and the quality, I think that socialization will flourish as long as it's not abused.
And Kathy, what do you think of what the American Academy of Pediatrics is saying as far as restricting children's use of these items?
Well, I think you really have to restrict their use of anything. I mean, it'd be like Heidi was saying and Brenda was saying about how if they're interrupting their sleep patterns, that's not good. If it's keeping the child isolated, that's not good. But if you're also using the technology so that they can have interactions with people they can't normally have, I'm not necessarily saying that's a bad thing either, and I think that's what we're all saying. I remember with us, you have a child who's on the phone all the time. So this would be very similar, I think, situation to that, where you have to just really see how it works. And I think it's individualized, because I know I have three children, and they interact differently even with their screen media. Some of them, they can self-monitor. Others need a little push. So I think as long as the parent or the guardian is cognizant of what they're doing and it's not negatively affecting, I do think it's a little strict to say no media that young. But
Kathy,
if you can resist buying an Xbox, do so for as long as you possibly can.
Yes,
for
I agree.
Your children.
Right.
Once it's there, it's probably lost hope.
You know, and on that note, talking about the socialization, there are different things that affect the socialization and screen media, and that is the type of media that they're using. If a child is engaging in a lot of violent media images, sometimes we see there that their play is more violent, and that can deter social connections within the classroom or within friendships at home. So again, it goes back to the quality and the quantity of screen media that parents are allowing their children. And it's not just on the parents' shoulders. I think that this is something that the community and our society has to watch. When other children come over to your house to play, I think that there's a responsibility, just as we put food into our mouth, there's a human responsibility to say, what type of play will you allow your children to play? Do you want them to see this game? Do you want them to see that game? Because we do have legal rights, or we do have a code on each video game and movie that is placed there for the protection of our children. And I think a lot of people do not pay close enough attention to this. And it's there to protect your child. And I think, just like having a conversation, is your child allergic to anything? I think that parents who are proactive in screen media and trying to shelter the innocence of their children, and I'm talking about young children, I think it's okay to have those conversations with friends and neighbors to say, if you don't mind, we don't allow them to watch violent videos, but it's okay if they watch XYZ. And I think that that's a conversation that young and new parents just need to be open about. And we're to that era. We're in a technological era. So this is introducing new topics and questions for parents to have to talk about.
It's part of the problem that this has become a substitute for things like traditional playtime and going outside to play.
Can yes. I maybe start again?
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, as I hinted earlier, I'm actually quite supportive of screen time and the digital world that these children are exposed to. I mean, to the point where I'm thinking I would have been much better off if I would have had those opportunities. And in fact, I think they provide a richer social world, more opportunities, and more importantly, even more opportunities to learn about themselves, and by, for example, creating these avatars and an opportunity for parents to learn about their children. I just think it's a fascinating world, a fascinating time to watch children navigate this world that we as parents may not be so very comfortable with ourselves. So we're all children in this, and I just think it's very interesting with a lot of opportunities. Now, of course, we have to be careful. Like Brenda said, you know, it's just like with a food allergy. There might be problems with children who then have nightmares, and then, you know, the neighbor parents will call in or something like that. But I think the opportunities that the media offers are maybe understated. And so I just want to put my plug in that, because connecting with your child over the computer games is huge. And my biggest advantage maybe is to, we have fairly relaxed screen time rules, and I, as a result, get to see my kids at home. They're not roaming the neighborhood trying to find those homes with unlimited screen time. They can just stay at home, and I watch them with their friends. And I think when we were kids, we didn't have that, so we would just be somewhere else. And I just enjoy having the kids at home and all their friends.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. And I'd be curious to ask parents who are listening, do you let your very young kids play with tablets? 513-419-7100. Kathy, did you want to add to what Heidi was saying?
Yes, I do. I do agree that interaction with technology is good, especially when you're able to give children a real-life example that they couldn't get anyhow, and that can be transferred to real life. But at the same time, I do think that we have to be cognizant of the fact that our children still need to go outside. They still have to interact with the natural world, and that can help them in the future with their learning. The Arlett Center at the University of Cincinnati has a National Science Foundation grant right now where it's looking at play in the natural environment. And what we're seeing is that there are definite benefits for the children for interacting different ways with nature, with problem solving and inquiry skills. While you can also get those same skills using a game electronically, there's more interaction between the children when they're all in the same place in the same location. So I do think you have to be careful. And somebody was talking about, like they're saying about how you can build worlds, which is good, like Heidi was saying with avatars. But you also have to realize, like, you have trees and stuff outside. So while it's nice if they know the outside world and can mimic it.
And I think, too, that it's really important to understand that I specialize in early childhood. And so I'm a little bit more protective of the early childhood. I'm for technology. And on the note of playing outside, many parents with very good intentions buy all kinds of software for their children. And what the focus of my research that I did find is that while the software companies advertise a lot of great, wonderful benefits if your child uses this, oftentimes this information does not transfer into reality. So an example I can give you that for that is if a child is trying to hammer a nail or play tennis, it's not really as authentic as playing the real game. And a lot of these skills do not transfer. Now, those are physical skills. If we were talking about different cognitive skills like alphabet and numbers, they do transfer, but more of that has to be done on a drill basis. So I think that with all ages, there are benefits and there are not so good benefits with screen media. And I think that as educators, it's just our job to let the parents know for all ages what is good and what's not.
Let's talk with Noel from Erlanger. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you doing today?
Good. Thank you. And what's your question?
Well, actually, I have more of a comment.
Okay.
I have my older daughter. She's 20 years old. And, you know, she spends a lot of time on the social media and on the computer. And I feel that, you know, it hasn't given her an opportunity to live life, you know, be out there as a young lady and experience things. And everything she's experiencing is on the computer. And I just don't feel, you know, I think it's a double-edged sword. In one hand, it keeps them home, like the young other lady was speaking about. But in the other hand, it really limits them as far as living life.
Noel, thanks for your comment. Brenda, did you have a response for that? Or?
No, I think that's a concern of all parents that have teenagers or young adults. And I think that, again, and I'm going to, I don't, when we look at our children, we looked at it as a trajectory of their life. And I think it's very important for you to try to sit down with her right now while you have the time and while she still wants to listen. And have that conversation with her about how you feel and what you feel like she's missing out on. And for the parents who do not have 20-year-olds yet, but who may have younger children, I want to just say that you are their first teacher and you are their model. So you, if you want to show your children that the internet is a wonderful tool and how to use it, then please go do that. We listened to the woman from Sesame Street on Friday and other specialists, and they said that, you know, parents will really model how they want their children to use technology. So I think that it very much starts in the early years, and it's important to know what and how you want your children to use technology. And I do wish you well with her, but I would tell you to be present in her life. Put as many family members and social and your community of learners in her life, and ask her to take time and be with you and to do things that you would enjoy doing with her.
Well, thank you for joining me this afternoon. We appreciate having all
of you
here on the show. And Brenda Greener Judd and Kathy Maltby are with UC's Arlett Child and Family Research and Education Center, and Dr. Heidi Clues is with UC's Department of Psychology. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. The producer for today's program is Pete Reitmeier. The technical director is Bruce Ellis. I'm Mark Haney.